What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Dada.
And, trying to set you up for success. And make you able to be more dominant in less possessions, you know? I think that is the sales pitch that you're making. I still am skeptical for a lot of the same reasons that the comments are, just because of like what it would do to your depth. Like, I know that you're saying like there's no amount of depth the Lakers can get that's going to compete with these teams. And like, I hear you on that, but there's also like, you know, if you build the best five-man lineup, but it can only play like 35 minutes a game and you're like a minus, you know, 25 in the other ones because the rest of it is like all vet minimum guys, you know, you could stagger the lineups, whatever, but like you're going to have some real weak spots in your rotation that are going to be able to be picked at by those teams. And
a lot of playoff basketball news like nowadays is like defined by your weak spots, not your strengths necessarily, but like,
and your weak, not just your weak spot in each lineup, but then also your weakest lineups. It's like, how many, you know, where did we see the Lakers lose the game every single time against the Thunder? It was when they had any like bench group in, and like all of a sudden AJ Mitchell is going off for like 25 points in 37 seconds. And it's just like, you just can't do anything to stop them. And I think like my concern is that, as well as, you know, so like, I don't know what the realistic paths to like good depth are, you know, entirely yet. The Lakers are going to have to like figure that out. Like they're going to have to weigh that, whether or not like, can they get better depth, good enough depth to make it worth passing up on like going for the star power play. And like, we kind of know which way Rob's going to lean if he's presented with those two options and it's like solely up to him. But I also, you know, will say that Giannis, it has been, I mentioned it already, he's been injured the last like what, four playoffs, five. And it's like, we just don't know for a fact that this is a guy that's going to be able to stay healthy with his playing style, with his body type. And we also don't know, given his skill set, like how well is that going to age? Like, is this like, are we doing the second Russell Westbrook trade? You know?
Yeah. I mean,
that's probably too extreme, but.
Yeah, Giannis is 7 feet tall. Russ was a 6'2", 6'3", guy who couldn't shoot. but no, like, I look.
But functionally, like, are you destroying your any chance to build out depth because you're going for this guy who's going to, you know, like, not age maybe the greatest, and is also, like, we're not sure, like, does he want to play the role that the Lakers would need him to play to win at the highest level?
So, basically, what's going into this, I think, is, you know, and this is one of those like look into the mirror moments that, and I don't necessarily love what is staring back at me, but like when you go to Vegas, when you walk into a casino, and you basically try to, because there's basically two, well, there's three outcomes, right? You kind of, you hit it big. And you have the trip of your lifetime, and it's paid for by one of your days in the casino. You slowly, the other outcome that's closer to the middle, which is the most realistic outcome, is that, you know, you bet steadily or whatever, but eventually you kind of just kind of leak money, you know, and you bleed money over the course of the trip. And then the last one is that, like, you go for broke and you actually go broke, and you get back home and you're like, lick your wounds or whatever, right? And like, for me, I look at contending against OKC and contending against San Antonio and the way that they're built. And if you basically try to match depth and you try to like be as good as the things that those teams are good at, you're just going to eventually kind of bleed money, right? You'll contend. Maybe you'll push a series to six. Maybe you'll push a series to seven. And who knows what happens in that game seven against those. But like in both of those series, you go into it. And in neither of those series, do you feel like you have anything other than a haymaker punch thrower's chance, right? And for me personally, it's like, all right, what are the Lakers good at? Historically, they're great at acquiring superstars. They swing big and they maximize their window while they have those superstars. And that's how you arrive at the Lakers winning their titles in bunches, right? You had Showtime where you won four. You had five. You had the three-peat Lakers, and you had back to back with Kobe the second time. The thing that's been weird about this LeBron experience is that they only won one, right? And that's why there was that stupid debate about whether this thing has been a success. And I'm looking at what the Lakers' strengths are historically, and I think this is where they have to utilize their strengths and play to their strengths. And to me, their strength is bring in Giannis. The irony here is because of the amount of optionality that they have this summer, they would still have some guys on contracts either in-house still or who you could bring back at various options. And the final piece of this puzzle to me, Harrison, is that like you look at the Spurs, you look at OKC, and you have guys who are just so thoroughly outplaying their current contracts. Now, they're outplaying those contracts because they're rookie deals or their second contracts that were handed out to second rounders or whatever. But like what the Lakers need to, figure out here, if they are going to have any chance, one of the other elements of getting yourself any chance whatsoever against those teams is finding anything close to the kind of value that the Spurs and OKC have on their rookie deals.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
And one way that you could do that is by being so star-studded, right? That you have so many role players that basically say, all right, I'm going to go play on the minimum for 1 year and try to turn that into a multi-year contract somewhere else. And that 1 year, I'll be paid. I know I'll be underpaid, but I'll be underpaid in a situation where I'm going to be spoon-fed wide open three-pointers by Luka, by Giannis, by Reeves, by potentially LeBron, who would be one of the guys who would be playing way under market value, right? Yeah. And to me, it's like, Do you arrive at guys playing way above market value by way of searching out depth, or do you arrive at that kind of outlandish value by way of superstars and role player heaven? I think it's the latter for me. I the Lakers have tried the depth thing. They aren't good at that. That involves a pro scouting department. They haven't hired those people yet.
Well, Anthony, they've hired for lots of roles that they're not going to make a habit of announcing, but some of them could be pro scouts. Right. We don't know.
Right.
Team chef. I don't know, but they've hired a lot of roles. Okay.
That was one of the weirder moments of the presser, right? Like, we aren't going to announce the why wouldn't you announce that?
Normally they don't do like a press release. They aren't in the habit of doing a press release like every time they hire an assistant coach or something. So like, I think it was more just like, we're not going to announce to the rest of the league like who we're hiring for what at all times, always. Like, we're going to announce like sort of the big front facing positions, but we're not necessarily going to announce like, oh, we got like this, like Harvard grad to run our data science department or whatever.
I think you should announce all of them. Like, the whole point right now is like evolutionizing and modernizing your organization. And if I were like the Lakers and I was trying to, reestablish my reputation around the league and with agents and with players and with camps and stuff like that. I think that stuff would help. But
as their Lee Jenkins, like, you're going to make sure that that information is out there and they don't have to do like a press release, you know?
I can think of almost literally nobody less likely than me to work for the Lakers. Like, I don't, there are so many other people who they would hire.
Yeah, like, if it was you or, like, Kendrick Perkins, like, they're probably going Perk, right?
Probably.
You know, like.
It depends on the position.
Yeah.
If it's English speaker, I think I have a chance, but.
Okay.
I think that, like, if what you're trying to do is find that kind of value, and you're trying to punch back, you had like the fucking Thunder are going to have AJ Mitchell at $3 million next year. You know, they're going to have the Spurs are going to have Dylan Harper.
I'm just glad they got that team option on the last year of the deal. Otherwise that one could have aged badly. You know,
right.
I'm
glad that they, you're going to like the Spurs have Dylan Harper on a rookie contract. And that helps mitigate against De'Aaron Fox's brutal deal, you know? And like, It like, to me, I it's like, man, I remember back in the day when the Lakers had like, when during the three-peat or when it was the Kobe and Powell teams, like even when Artest signed at the minimum at the exception, you know, before they won that championship, it was a mid-level exception. Like, even that was a bit of a discount. Like, that was below what he was probably going to take there. And the only reason that they arrived there is because he wanted to be in LA. He wanted to vie for a championship with Kobe and with Powell and with the rest of that core. And to me, like, for the Lakers, I would lean back into that. I would do whatever I can to lean back into that as a strength.
I hear what you're saying, but I think that the league has changed a lot since then. And I think that the way that agenting is done has changed a lot since then. Like, you just don't see guys that are good really doing that anymore. It's like the money's so big that everyone is taking the payday whenever they can. And also because of like the way the extension rules have changed and like how much more you can get by staying with your team, you know, on an extension versus like even going to free agency in many cases, there's like most of the guys that are like of that caliber aren't even hitting free agency to take a discount anyway. Yeah. Like, they're already locked in on their next deal. And so it's like every year, there's a couple guys where, you know, like they way outperform the contract, the bargain contract that they got signed to or whatever. Like, the Lakers had this with Malik Monk a couple of years ago where it was like, man, he way outperformed the biannual exception or whatever they got him for. You know, he was awesome. And he was like so awesome that they couldn't afford to keep him because they literally like could not give him a big enough raise to make it worth his while to stay.
You know, over the years, I've seen it all. So now I'm sharing it all. Join me for Unfiltered Talks with the names you love on my new podcast, On Par with Maury Povich. Follow and listen to On Par wherever you get your podcasts.
And so, like, you have those guys, but that's by far the outliers. Most of the time, you know, it's the rest of that roster that they tried to go bargain bin hunting. And it's like, okay, like, Melo had like 10 good games. And, you know, like, once Kendrick Nunn gets healthy, the team's going to look different. And, you know, like, imagine if Trevor Ariza was 5 years younger. I bet he'd be really good. You know,
yeah,
we gotta give him some time to come back. And most of the time when you go when you go shopping in the when you go thrifting at the garbage dump, like, you might find some like good stuff, but most of the time you're just gonna get garbage. And, you know, no matter how like much success, you know, like no matter how nice your house is, you know, you're not gonna be able to find like the chances of you finding like an entire dining room set at the dump is like, you know, the house isn't gonna be able to offset that. Was that my best analogy ever? I don't know. Many people are saying, like,
I think you found that analogy in the garbage bin. Like, you.
Yeah.
Like, but like,
it's just like there's not saying that many guys that are good that become available for that price, or that are like, I'm just going to take the discount, the 1 year discount, whatever. Guys just don't do that anymore. They're like, I'm just going to go secure the bag somewhere, because you can get so much more money, you know, just by like signing with a team with cap space or whatever.
Well, I mean, like same time though, you had like, you know, Josh Okogie was mostly fine, I would say, for Houston. Like, free agent money has been really difficult to come by, and I think that has put more guys in a situation where they're on the minimum, and you know, they are there on the minimum or in that minimum market a little bit longer than they would normally be otherwise. So, like, with again, like, yeah, you are gonna, like, if that is a route that the Lakers are looking to take, right? If they basically try to find their depth on Facebook Marketplace, you are gonna, you know, bring in some. I bought one of those high pressure, like the high water pressure, you know, things, power washers, and it works fine, but it's nowhere near the caliber that like it even says it was going to be on the box. And to a certain extent, it's like, I got it for $100. I really can't be that disappointed in the lack of water pressure that I'm getting from this thing. And yet though, it's like, for what I need this thing for, it's been perfectly fine, you know? And when your roster's starting point is Luka, Giannis, LeBron, Austin, and whoever the starting five would be, or, you know, if I don't think you would be able to convince Giannis to start at the five every night. I don't think it'd be very wise to do it anyway.
Yeah.
But like,
we're going backwards if we do that, you know, that's like, okay, how can we make this more taxing on your body at that point? You know,
right.
It's
right.
Like you're going to, you know, you will be that in some lineups and whatever, but yeah, you're going to be the four in most things.
But like, I'm looking at, you know, when you think about the fact that the Lakers are, you know, basically investing in their scouting department, and they're investing in their development department as well. And like, this is something that the Dodgers, that like, this is what the Dodgers have been incredible at, right? Is yeah, you know, you could always point to the Mookie Betts trade. You could point to the Lakers or the Dodgers spending $700 million on Shohei Ohtani. You could go on down the line of, you know, Yamamoto and all of their like expensive acquisitions as well. But at the same time, also, they've been supplementing those acquisitions with guys like Justin Turner, who was at third base forever, Max Muncy, who is now at third base, and guys who they brought in for cheap and they developed. And then by way of getting them into their culture, Max Muncy has like specifically spoken about the opportunities for higher paydays that he could have taken elsewhere. But he said that like he didn't want to take those contracts or get paid more elsewhere because it would have driven him insane to go and, yeah, make a few more million bucks a year at Team X, but then look over there and there's the Dodgers winning another World Series that would have been his. You know, and to me, like if we're talking about like trying to build out, you know, or get that Lakers culture back to where it was when, you know, before the kids took over, like a big part of that, frankly, is reestablishing themselves as the team that does go, like if there is a superstar out there that the Lakers go out and get them, they haven't seriously factored into getting, like, you know, KD has been available. Like they did so in acquiring Luka Doncic, and I think that now, you know, now it's a matter of like fully taking advantage of this opportunity with them. And I just don't think that the way that you, you know, you navigate that or you optimize this window is by hoping that, you know, maybe Rob Pelinka, you know, hits on six straight doubles rather than, you know, a couple solo homers here and there.
Yeah, I think all of that's fair, but I also think, again, like, the league is just different than it was during those days. And, you know, maybe you can establish yourself as the place where guys go, you know, again, where it's like, you know, every veteran at the end of their career who still has anything left in the tank was like, during the 80s, was like going and joining the Lakers or Celtics, because it's like, okay, now I just want to win one. You know, I want to try and like come off the bench here and try and win one. And, you know, like, that was like a recipe for a long time. But I just think that the money's gotten so big now. And the difference with baseball is like the cap is so restrictive that it's like with, you know, with someone like Muncy, he can say it's, you know, like it's just a couple million dollars here or there or whatever. You know, in basketball, guys, you know, it can be like a gigantic difference depending on whether or not you're signing with like a cap space team or whatever, because the second apron is so onerous that teams don't want to go in there. And so it's like you're deciding between like the minimum and like, you know, $15 million instead of, you know, like just a couple million haircut off of whatever your value is here or there. And so I do think that that's like a real sort of problem with this plan. And I also, but that said, you know, you talked about the Lakers hiring out in the front office, and they are going to be hiring these like assistant GMs. Like, it is possible that they get some people that we hear their names, and because I assume those ones will announce probably, you know, we'll hear those names and we're like, hey, like, actually that's somebody who has contributed to like a winning culture. And like, I think maybe offset some of Rob's blind spots. And maybe I do have more faith that the Lakers can find guys on the fringes now, instead of just signing, like going to NBA.com and sorting by like points per game average and being like, that's who I want to give the minimum to.
Mid-range efficiency.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really kind of curious what it would look like. I guess to answer that second question, like, what would it take? It would take all three of the picks. It would take Adu Thiro. He would probably have to be made available in the trade. I don't think, like, if the Lakers...
So you're giving up young Giannis for Giannis? Like, I don't know. I'm not trading 10 years up in age.
I know that there's by way of this episode, and as we get deeper into the offseason, I think this conversation will really kind of ramp up. I'm not going to include Reeves in any Giannis trade, not just necessarily because I don't think the Lakers should have to give up Reeves, but if I'm Austin Reeves, I don't know that I would be all that interested in going and playing in Milwaukee post Giannis. I don't think that's, you know, something that would be in the cards. So, you know, and that in order to include Austin in that trade, he would have to agree to, you know, signing and being traded. So I just don't necessarily think that Austin can figure into your trade offer here. And that
It's just not that realistic. And it's also like it completely ignores the human element of like the Lakers are like, we're recruiting you back, we want you back. But also, like, how do you feel about Milwaukee? You know. It's like you're proposing to your girlfriend and you're like, hey, like, I love you. I want to be with you for the rest of my life. But also, like, Fred over there, what do you think about him? Like, you know, backup option, like, maybe if he trades me his girlfriend.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, it's good for all of us to keep our options open.
Right. You know, again, not the best way to sell somebody on forever is you know, but. But yeah, like I think though that, like, you know, so as far as like Reeves go, I'm not comfortable including him in any kind of trade offer here. Also, like, according to The Athletic, Luka literally told the Lakers, do not trade Austin for Giannis. And
I'm sorry, I love that report where it's like, you know, it's like Luka's like, yeah, put it out there. I told them my best friend, he's not going anywhere, you know, because. Imagine if it came out Luka was like, Luka's actually fine if they put him in the Giannis trade.
I mean, I feel like
wouldn't come out. We wouldn't hear about that. I just, like, it's like with this stuff, it's always like, it's like, you know, yeah, it's like, tell. Actually, no, I'm not going to make that analogy. Never mind. Go ahead.
Well, like, I've already gotten, you know, reports of LeBron being like, go ahead and include that guy then, you know?
Like, yeah, I don't know. Like, but also that's been some of the criticism of LeBron, like, over the course of his career.
Bye, everyone.